back. I'm Jonathan Capehart. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. Everywhere you look, near and far, there are endless reasons to feel upset, angry, depressed, despair, whatever D word you can find. I certainly don't need to list any, as I'm sure you have reasons of your own. However, if you're honest and take the time to look, there are still good things, which is why I'm grateful for New York Magazine's 13th annual edition of their Reasons to Love New York edition. And joining me now to go through some of the things that have been great is the magazine's editor-at-large, Carl Swanson. Carl, great to see you again. It's been a long time. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me on.
So was it difficult to compile the list this year? Is it always difficult to compile this list?
Well, you know, one of the things about the issue that's always been kind of fun is it lets us look at things that are not necessarily news-driven, that really sort of remind us, I mean, how it is, you know, it's always difficult to live in New York on some level. And it reminds you, well, why, you know, what is it that makes us want to live here? What makes this place, you know, what sort of gives it sort of the mythology that sort of sustains us? And that, but this year, it was actually more therapeutic. I mean, this year, you know, I think for all of us, we just sort of feel like we're constantly under siege by bad news. And I think, especially given the way we consume news now, which is, you know, on our, like these alerts on our phones and everything else, you kind of like always feel like you're just getting, you know, kicked in the shins.
And I hope that's the only place you can
get totally. And so there's a bit of a feeling of, you know, like you're like on this like involuntary anxiety drip. And so we decided that we would go, well, can we kind of create a daily, almost like a daily affirmation, you know, can come up with something that happened every single day that could remind us of what's good about the world and this place and this, you know, being, you know, in New York, that is the world, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we decided, that's what we set out to do. And we came up with 344 of them.
You took weekends off?
No. Because the year and we started in January 1st, so the year ended. The year ended when the day before this came out, which came out, and it came out yesterday, Monday.
Okay.
So that was 344 days. We counted.
And so how far in advance do you start compiling this list, or have you already started? Will you start compiling the list come January 1 of 2018? For a year from now.
I'm sure that the editor would like me to say that we do that, but we didn't. We actually didn't come up with this particular idea for it. We had a couple of competing ideas about a month ago. So we really sort of we did this all in about 3 weeks.
So the copy of the magazine that I have, there are actually there are three covers.
Yes.
The front cover is of Bruce Springsteen and his wife, Patti Scialfa, which I know my dear friend Jordan Roth loves because the Springsteen is playing in his theater. And then the next cover is with David Hallberg and Isabella Boylston.
Yes.
In a very dramatic move in a pair of Levi's. They're both wearing Levi's, but he's like aloft.
He is.
In these Levi's.
He looks like he's, you know, it's really incredible. And she looks so casual.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's been like launched from, I don't know, it's in another dimension. It's really, it's an incredible picture.
Well, he looks like, what are those in Renaissance painting, the putti that come down from the clouds?
Right? Yeah, I'm sure he would love you to say that, actually.
Yes, well, I just did.
Yes.
And then the third cover, which to me is my favorite, and it is of Leslie Jones and Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live, which on the show they have like this thing.
Yeah,
like have this thing going on.
As far as we know, it's just comedically. No, it's incredible, isn't it? And we actually, it was she, you know, she's one of my, you know, one of my favorite people. And their like exchange is so awesome. And then they, I mean, it was great. They agreed. I also liked that in the end he is kissing her, sort of like in a kind of reverse of their.
Yes, because she's always the one who is like going in. Going in on Colin.
My little vanilla bean. All that sort of stuff. My little
vanilla drop and stuff like
exactly.
that. So before we get into the month by month, were there things you'd forgotten that came up in the process of working on this?
You know, I think that one of the things that it really reminded you of, you know, is of, you know, things like, you know, of how... I mean, on a really sort of wonky level, how important it is to live in a city where the government, both the city government as well as the state government, is doing what it can to actually solve problems and make life better for the residents. And that's something, and I hate to be kind of earnest about that, but that's something that I kept coming upon when we're doing this, is the fact that, you know, there seems to be a tension being paid to making our lives as best you can a little bit better here. And that's something you don't always feel from the national government these days.
Yeah, as someone who lives where the national government is headquartered, I can tell you that my eyebrows, you saw, shot up and like, what? Government's helping?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's little things that you, you know, I mean, like the fact that there are free lunches, school lunches, you know, the fact that there are, and that sort of kind of came into place this year, or the fact that there is, you know, attention being paid to sort of these innovative ways of creating, on a small scale, affordable housing. And experiments that are happening, and those have to be sponsored by the government on some level. The fact that that Cuomo signed this bill that said that you can't be asked in a job interview how much money you previously made, and you know, these kinds of things that like you don't necessarily think about, but then when you see something like, I think it was it last night or this morning when you saw that the that like this sort of rule that said that you know, that the airlines had to tell you how much your baggage fees were was being removed for whatever reason, you realize that things like this are not necessarily, that's not exactly how the government necessarily works anymore.
Right, right.
You know.
So before we go through the list, just to remind everyone, I'm speaking with Carl Swanson, editor-at-large at New York Magazine, and we're talking about the magazine's 13th annual edition of the Reasons to Love New York. And we have many options for you to join in on this conversation, what you're glad for this past year in New York City, too. Either call us at 212-433-9692, leave a comment on our show page at wnyc.org/lowpaid, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Okay, January seems so long ago. And now it's easy to take the Second Avenue subway for granted. That was the big thing almost a year ago.
Yes. And it, I mean, not that it really goes anywhere, but yes.
Look, they got it done.
There is
an actual a train.
Totally. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, it costs so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs so much that it seems like that at least for the time being, they're not planning on extending it to neighborhoods that maybe could use it even more than the Upper East Side. But it is, it's wonderful that it was done.
Also in January, the Women's March.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, I was one of those people who's very skeptical. You hear folks saying, I'm mad and I'm going to protest. And oh my God, they did. And not just here in the city, but also in all over the world.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I happened to be in Seattle that weekend, and they did a silent march in Seattle, which seemed very Seattle, I guess. But it was everybody. But everyone, I mean, especially D.C. I mean, you know, many of my friends went down in D.C. and but it was, yeah, I mean, it was here, too. It was really and then to be followed up, you know, obviously by what happened at JFK.
Right. I was going to bring that up next because that was also a spontaneous thing.
It was amazing.
People heard about the Muslim ban and they just came from everywhere here in New York, but also bringing in my Washington knowledge.
Yeah.
They went to Dulles.
Absolutely.
Lawyers set up card tables saying, if you need help, here we are. I should also say that my husband and I were in San Juan that mm-hmm. weekend. We were having lunch on the terrace of our hotel, and we heard this commotion. They were marching in San Juan as well. Yeah, people were mad.
Yeah, people are mad. You know, it seems like a very long time ago. I think that's part of the exhaustion of this year is, you know, what does one do with one's outrage over time?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, every November they can vote, or in a special election. But moving right along,
yes.
February.
Yes.
Why do you think a cow escaping a slaughterhouse in Queens would make such a stir?
Well, you know, one of the things, actually, you know, the
cows
funny thing
in
is
Queens?
There were two examples of this. We cut the other one. The other one happened actually near Prospect Park, apparently. But one thing that, one of the themes of this is to remind you of, one of the things to wonder about New York is just that these weird things happen here. You know, there are a lot of New Yorks in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes people forget that. You know, and there are slaughterhouses in New York. You know, there are like, which is incredible. I mean, there are these things that go on here that that remind you of just sort of like the complexity and the density and the multiple ways that people live here. And that is part of what that is. That's one of the themes running through this, is to sort of appreciate In some ways, that sort of old-fashioned sense of New York as just being this incredibly kind of kooky, diverse place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I lived in the city, especially in the late 90s, I lived in the Meatpacking District, mm-hmm. when it was the Meatpacking District.
Sure, yeah.
It smelled like death, but I mean, it smelled like rotting meat. But it never occurred to me, where are they getting the meat from? And it was over in Queens.
Yeah. It's like when the snowstorm happened and those ponies escaped in Staten Island, you're like, there are ponies in Staten Island. And you sort of realize that you kind of want to cheer them on,
mm-hmm.
you know? Just run, ponies, run, you know?
I was about to say the same thing. All right. Also in February was the bodega strike.
Yes.
Who organized that?
Well, you know, that was it was a group of Yemeni Americans who had, and I think one of the things that's interesting also and about New York is that you know, they end up being these little, immigrant groups come in and they help each other out in order to, and you know, that's why we had Greek diners. I think that, like, for a long time, that's why we had Korean delis. I think that, and for some reason, this system made sense. And so there were a lot of people, as it turned out, who were, from Yemen, who owned a bunch of
who took over the bodega franchise of New York City,
and so they were in communication. So when all this was going down, and they said, you know, we're going to stand up to this. I have the guy that owns my deli I most frequent, was from Iraq, and he actually applied to move to Canada because he couldn't take being here. He felt that this was not a country that was going to provide him with the American dream anymore. It was terrible.
Yeah, I was at one of those embassy parties in Washington, and I saw an ambassador from a European country, and we got to talking, and she said to me something that has stuck with me ever since. She said, "America has lost the one weapon it had, the mm-hmm. power to inspire."
Absolutely,
and it breaks my heart. So to hear that story about your deli man, your bodega man. I mean, I'm sure he is not alone.
Oh no.
So okay, let's move on to March. Mm-hmm. Now, it was difficult to find good things in March, wasn't it?
It all kind of runs together. To the truth,
but there was a couple
things, and yes, absolutely. I mean, we talked about and I guess this has been sort of like long in process, but Sesame Street introduced a Muppet with autism, Julia, and who was four, and I think that's one of the things that reminds you of just how important Sesame Street is, in terms of sort of acknowledging things that need to be acknowledged, like things that kids have questions about, and I thought that was mm-hmm. another example of like just people being thoughtful.
People being thoughtful, New Yorkers being thoughtful, but when it comes to a character like Julia, it's a New York innovation that has national reach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's this about the Brooklyn Public Library and their special library card?
Well, they introduced,
does special, it fly?
Yes, and it's furry. No, I mean, I want to love, I mean, the Brooklyn Public Library does such a wonderful job of... And, because it's independent, like there's the New York Public Library, mm-hmm. which is in Manhattan. For some reason, this is like a legacy, I guess, of before the city was integrated. There's the Queens Public Library. Mm-hmm. And there's the Brooklyn. And the Brooklyn one always seems, at least to my mind, to be the most innovative. And they really seem to be very, thoughtful in their outreach and trying to sort of maintain the kind of, friendliness and engagement with all the kids.
Well, now that we have finished the Q1 of 2017, I'm Jonathan Capehart, and I'm speaking with New York Magazine editor-at-large Carl Swanson about why this past year gave us so many reasons to love New York City. Later on in the show, Stephen Rogers, who wrote the screenplay for the feature film I, Tanya, about American figure skater Tanya Harding, plus the Edgar Award-winning thriller novelist Megan Abbott with the winners of our Scary Story Writing Contest. You're listening to WNYC and WNYC.org. We'll be right back. And we're back. I'm Jonathan Capehart, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org, and I'm speaking with Carl Swanson, editor-at-large of New York Magazine, and we're talking about the always anticipated magazine where we get to find out the reasons we love New York City. We did Q1 2017 before the break, now Q2, April. April was actually produced some really stunning images by Hamza Deez. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. He's a 20-year-old photographer. And Carl, tell us, what did he do?
Well, you know, I can give you a little background because he was, 3 years ago, for the Reasons Love New York issue, he did this image that turned out to be that we use on the cover, which was of, and he was sitting on top of a skyscraper, and you could see his feet extended out. And
oh,
he'd
yeah.
snuck onto the skyscraper. And he was 17 at the time and had sort of taught himself to be a photographer and, like, would scramble around all kinds of crazy, you know, not really very legal places and make these incredible images. And we thought that image was so amazing because it, well, I have a bit of vertical, so it kind of scared me. But it was one of the you know, it just showed a kind of like a freedom in a relationship to the city that I think that as you get older and more timid and are less likely to scramble around on
yeah, when
on
you're
rooftops,
not 17 years old yeah. and fearless,
you do. And so he kept going and he kept in touch with our photo department and he started the series with using drones. And he somehow, and I don't know exactly how he did this because I don't personally own a drone, know how they really sort of function, but he managed to sort of like do these images over landmarks in the city and he would perfectly center them. Like he has
yeah.
one over the Chrysler Building.
That is stunning.
It's amazing. And so we did, we ran 5 in the magazine. I think there are more online. And they really are amazing because they make you rethink what the city looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you rethink, you know, and they become sort of a little abstracted. And they also just makes you sort of appreciate, you know, the geometries of the city and things like that you don't otherwise do. But he really, he's, you know, he has a remarkable eye. But what's interesting is that, like, we tried to get him to take one over Times Square. But there's, some sort of, anti-drone
yeah no fly
system.
Zone, I'm sure,
and there it actually will disable a drone apparently, and as a as someone who like always thinks about this whenever I land because I'm a catastrophist by nature, that like a that like a you know a drone would fly into like the jet or whatever, like a big goose, and knock mm-hmm. it out of the sky, I was pleased to know that that actually their technology does exist and is being enforced in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was it was he had to sort of do some picking and choosing for where he actually took these pictures.
Yeah, the picture over the Chrysler Building is really quite spectacular because the Chrysler Building looks gold.
Yes.
And that's not a color you associate
that's
with the Chrysler Building. To me it's silver mm-hmm. and at night it's those iconic lights. And then between Chrysler Building and immediately over the Statue of Liberty, over
yes.
the head of the Statue of Liberty
yeah.
is a sight no one will ever see except for Hamza.
Exactly.
All right, what's this with the and I'm going to pronounce the name wrong, and I'm just telling everybody right now, I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but I blame 1010 Winds.
Yes.
The Kosciuszko Bridge.
That could be right. I don't know. Actually, you know, it's something, I don't know how to pronounce it either. I mean, you know, it, you know, for years, like when you would go from Williamsburg to Long Island City, you know, they had this crazy dumpy old bridge that was, and they finally decided to replace it with one of those bridges that you see that the rest of the world has, which is these bridges that are sort of lit up, you know, with these sort of LEDs, and they sort of uh-huh. like look like miniature versions of like the, you know, kind of Golden Gate Bridge or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite impressive. You know, anyway, so that's something that was a big deal, because it's almost tacky.
almost tacky.
Yeah. which I appreciate.
Okay, so May, there are quite a few good things that happen, in May. The New York City ferries return from the Rockaways to Lower Manhattan.
Yeah, that was part of, and we talk about things that, like, you know, the little things that are happening to make the city better. I mean, that was one of de Blasio's big things, was to create a, you know, a subsidized ferry system. And, you know, that we charge the same as much, as taking the subway. And you know, so the first one from, they started at Rockaways, and it stopped several times before it gets to Lower Manhattan. I think it stops on Wall Street in the end, you know, opened. And, you know, you could argue that it's not a very effective use of money, I suppose. But it is sort of a sign that, you know, at least someone is sort of thinking about, like, how to make how to make the city work better.
Yeah, how to get from point A to point B in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
How long does it take? It doesn't sound like it's a short trip. It doesn't sound like a short trip.
You know, actually,
or
high
speed.
I don't know. But I don't think it takes that long, actually, but I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. I'll do.
I've never gone on it myself, actually.
My copious free time, I'll try it.
Yeah, I think it's good for the summer to get to Fort Tilden.
And it's supposed to be crowded during the summers to get on that ferry.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, one of the things that's been really interesting about the city in the last, 7 or 8 years, I think that a lot of people have sort of rediscovered, as people moved further out into Brooklyn, they rediscovered the Rockaways as a place to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a really nice beach, and you can get there by public transportation. So people do that, and this helps.
So in introing this and talking about the covers,
yes.
I talked about David Hallberg,
mm-hmm.
And the Athletic cover that he has. But it was in May that he returned to the stage after a long absence due to an injury. What happened?
You know,
tendon related thing.
Yeah, he hurt his ankle, and I mean, I think this is, I mean, like any professional athlete, I think you just begin. I think you're always injuring yourself a little bit, and then I think it just kind of kept getting worse, and he thought he was never going to dance again. I mean, he has a memoir that just came out as well about all this, and he's really a beloved. figure in ballet in the cities, and incredibly talented, and so it was good that he managed to sort of recover.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Come to think of it, because we talked about the three covers: Bruce Springsteen and his wife Patty, Hallberg and Isabella Boylston, and then Leslie Jones and Colin Jost,
yes.
which I said is my favorite cover again. What I find, well, two questions: why three covers, and then follow up. It's interesting that there's no sports figure on the cover. I mean, this is a big sports town.
Well, you could say David Hallberg is a sports figure.
Well, I mean, you could.
No,
but I mean,
no. I will tell you. This is sort of getting a little of in sort of like, you know, like who was around, who was available.
Yeah.
And that honestly, a lot of it has to do with that. I mean, we did talk to a number of people. To sort of do this. But we wanted to, all of them need to sort of play in some way to the word love. And that was part of it. And then, we wanted to sort of like have a spread of different kinds of people that were made, that were influential in some ways in the city or inspiring
mm-hmm.
in some ways, or just reminded you about things that were kind of great about the city.
Right.
And that's why, that those are the ones that ended up, a bunch of people, and it was people, especially famous people. They have like they're busy,
lives.
And, and they're not necessarily a lot of times. People are promoting something. That's why they end up taking the time to be on the cover of a magazine, and so we have to sort of work with all that. And I think the three covers was just something that we did because we did this actually with the 50th anniversary issue as well, and I think it's just something that it's kind of a visual kind of. I mean, innovation that I think also advertisers like.
Now we're going to move on. Exactly.
That's, I mean, it's part of it. Yeah.
Well, of course. Q3 of 2017, we're going to talk about Jonathan Capehart. And I'm sitting with Carl Swanson, editor at large for New York Magazine. And we are talking about the annual Reasons to Love New York issue. We've gone through the first half. Almost the first half of the year. We got to get to June. And June was humpback whales off the coast of New York.
Well, suddenly there were these articles that appeared, and a lot of this sort of is stuff that some of this stuff happened on those days. Some of the things were announced that day or a news event that happened that day. Sometimes there were just reports that came out. And on this day, this report came out that said that noted that for the first time in a century, it was incredibly common to see humpback whales off of off the coast and basically in the mouth of New York Harbor. And that's something that apparently until like 2011 really was not something that you would see that often.
Mm.
And I think that, and it was because the water is so much cleaner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so like,
that's
huge. Zooplankton and things like that are back and all the other things that whales eat. So that's great. I mean, I think also we're so used to all the bad news about how we're despoiling nature and making this planet increasingly uninhabitable. so it was nice that, like, something, on some level, like, that, you know, the water's cleaner. So there are.
So I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear the harbor or the Hudson anymore. If the whales are back, you know, I can get in.
One of my favorite items in here is that the State Department of Environmental Conservation, I think it's called, declared that it was okay to kayak in the Gowanus Canal.
Oh my God!
That was a declaration they made.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because they cleaned. Now they said you can't swim in it. But it's clean enough now because they've been, you know, it's a Superfund site or something. So they've been steadily trying to, you know, they fixed the drain or whatever that was at the end of it that had been clogged up for 50 years, probably with, like, you know, dead bodies or something. And so so that was, you know, so basically the thing started working again and started flushing itself out. So it's okay to, and they're building all those condos and stuff there. So
on
I guess you
Gowanus.
Can sort of like, I know, it's amazing.
That's another, like, traffic report. You know, the Kosciuszko Bridge and the Gowanus Canal.
Completely.
And you don't
know. And now it's okay, you know. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. July featured a suspicious package that caused an evacuation along West 21st Street. And then what happened?
Well, you know, what's funny, you know, is that and I'm actually going to look up exactly when this was, but apparently, so there was a dance, there was a famous nightclub called Danceteria in the 1980s, where Madonna and so forth hung out, and they in 1985, probably in some sort of like cokey haze or whatever people did back
32
then.
32 years ago.
Yeah, some employees of it buried a time capsule, and it looked like a World War II bomb. Because it actually was purchased for $200 from an Army Navy store on 14th Street, back when there were things like that on 14th
right.
Street. And they, you know, put some things in it. And they buried it, like, in this lot, which I guess was where people, I don't know, smoked or whatever people did, you know, back in another era of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were, like, you know, and now because that neighborhood is, and it's sort of the Flatiron area and, like, West 21st, you know, it's, again, incredibly she-she. So they're building a building there, and they dug it up. And they panicked. And they evacuated the building. Which
you
see
is, course, something, say something.
Of course, no longer contains Danceteria, but probably contains like a, you know, pottery barn or something. And so that's, since now it's sort of the Pottery Barn District, and when it used to be like the Danceteria District. And that's what happened. And then they, you know, they managed to find, they managed to sort of figure it out. And
do we know what was in the time capsule, considering it was the 80s and things. We could just move. We could just move along.
Honestly,
maybe it's not safe for radio.
That, yeah, exactly. It's really a. It's really, yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Maybe it was like Mardi Gras beads and like old cigarettes and stuff.
It probably wasn't anything too valuable.
All right, we're only halfway through the year.
Yes,
we don't have a whole lot of time.
Oh, okay,
so I'm gonna skip. I'm gonna skip August.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
We went on vacation.
But wait,
what?
Oh no, we can't skip August because that was the month of the eclipse.
Yes.
And you had a bunch of people camped out in front of your office. Or gathered outside, I guess,
to look? Well, just all over the city. I mean, it was one. I was actually reporting a story in Long Island City that day, and it was really amazing. Like, everyone was out on the street. Everyone had, like, those, you know, the special glasses, except for the president, I guess. And everybody, like, you know, and they constructed those things out of, like, you know, cereal boxes and all these things. I was one of the things that I really loved seeing, especially in Long Island City, which has such a mix of people. Because it's such a mix of uses, that area. It was really fun to see everybody out there and, like, sort of enjoying, you know, this thing and not, you know, panicking about it, I guess.
Right. A moment of unity.
A moment of unity. Absolutely.
Okay, September. You mentioned this earlier, but maybe you did.
Yes.
Free lunches at New York City public schools.
Yes.
I didn't realize that there weren't free lunches at New York City public schools. Or is it free lunches for everybody, regardless of economic circumstance?
I think that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I
free is free.
Free is free. And I think that's also because I think that you know that I mean it's again I think sort of important to remember that you know that you know given you know how sort of bright and shiny so much of the city is, like, still 75% of the kids, as I understand it, who are in the you know who are in the New York City public school system already qualified for free or reduced price
mm-hmm.
lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I mean, you know, if you don't eat lunch, you're not going to be, you know, like if you have to.
You're not going to be alert.
You're not going to be alert. Absolutely.
There are a couple of other things that happened in September. The fire department had, I guess for the first time, women's calendar.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, everyone kind of looks forward to the FDNY men's calendar.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's,
yes,
it's a tradition.
Absolutely. That's a
but
tradition.
Now, the women's calendar.
Yes. I mean, the year before, they had reversible calendar. So they had the women on one side, the men on the other.
Oh, okay.
And then they decided, you know what, we're going to separate it out. I think on and so maybe you can buy both, you know, and have them for different members of your family. It's great though. It really is. You know, it takes a sort of tradition and makes it you know, much more sort of like acknowledges like you know, other people's perspectives.
Right.
In a way,
I like that perspectives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also, Cardi B, I did not know who she was until I was visiting my friend Tamron Hall, and she was getting ready for one of her big events, and these words were coming over the speakers. I was like, oh my God, who is this person?
Yes.
The beat was great. The words were like, I can't even say half of them on the radio because they're on this list here next,
yes,
to the, next to the thing. But why is she so significant?
I think people really found her, you know, inspiring as being, you know, someone who is just sort of completely self-created.
Mm-hmm.
And
she literally is a rags-to-riches,
absolutely,
story.
And she did it, I think, without being dependent on, you know, on as being a part of sort of like another. A lot of female rappers end up becoming successful because they're part of like a male rapper's sort of group, and she didn't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also just like, I mean, she's incredible. I mean, to, you know, as a performer and you know, just the way she looks and talks and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think people find her and it's, you know, also it's great that she's, you know, she's one of the things that you know,
that makes New York, City,
New York
great.
City great.
Okay,
yeah.
We got to, I want to talk about and remind people of something that you also mentioned before, and this happened in November. Mm-hmm. November was the first full month that New York employers can't ask about previous salaries. That's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one of those like good government things. I mean, you know, the governor signed this bill, you know, I mean, earlier in the year, and it sort of went into effect at the, like, October 31st or something, I guess is, that must be, mm-hmm, it was as we put on here. And you know, it's just, it's a rule. They can't ask you this.
That, I mean,
which saves you from lying about it, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, in
sure
interviews.
Lots of people,
yeah,
lots of people do. Yes, I make $1 million.
Yes.
In my previous job.
In your previous job.
Okay, before I let you go.
Yes.
There's not a whole lot of time, mm-hmm, left in December, but you've got things on there. And one that there were fewer drunk Santas for SantaCon on the subways.
Well, I mean,
how does one quantify that?
Well, what they did is, and we did this one actually, since we closed with a friend, all we knew is that they banned alcohol on Metro North, New Jersey Transit, and Long Island Railroad.
Uh-huh.
And they and which is apparently a place that, you know, as commuters know, you can, you know, you can get drunk on, which is one of the less pleasant things about those three things, in some ways. But and it also reminds you that SantaCon, which is deeply unpleasant, I live in the East Village, so they're around us.
Oh.
They are they come from elsewhere. They definitely come from the suburbs.
Well, I mean, Santa comes from elsewhere, so it,
yes,
kind of makes sense.
Sure.
But I don't think Santa is that messy.
Well, yes, you know, well, you know, I don't know, because I guess it depends on if he's really flying that sleigh, or if the really, you know, are the reindeer really taking care of it?
Are they self-driving?
Yeah, they could be self-driving deer, and Santa could just be sitting there drinking. I mean, we don't know.
All right. Well, you know what? Next year,
yes,
we will find out for sure, maybe, hopefully,
yes,
you know, the results of SantaCon 2017, or look forward to 2018.
Yes, absolutely.
Carl. Thank you very much, Carl Swanson, New York Magazine editor at large, about why this past year gave us many reasons to love New York City. Carl, great to see you again.
Yes,
thanks for
you
being
as well.
Here.
Thanks.